Bet on Bears fans, Friday edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Tyler Aki in the building. Are you Bear Claw?
I'm Bear Claw. Are you Claw? Broken fingered and all? I'm Bear Claw.
Are you a Claw guy? You're
I'm
a Claw
so
guy.
I think it's the greatest thing that's happened to this franchise in a long time.
Over Caleb Williams being here, you're more hype about the Claw.
Like, it almost feels like part of the Caleb Williams experience. Because he, like, I know people have done the Claw in the past, but he's popularized the Claw in this city. Everybody is doing the Claw now because of Caleb.
Now, see, here's the thing. You do it well, right? Like, I've seen some people going, like, here.
It's a limp and I claw. Feel
like, yeah,
limp
you claw. Can't go limp claw in this. You gotta go full claw, straight arm, hands on. I've said... Listen, because half of Twitter, right? At this point, Bears fans just like to argue about things. I'm convinced on this. I'm convinced on this. We're just arguing to argue.
They seek war.
We had punter talk for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. I'm like, I don't need punter talk, right? But I don't care who invented it. No one's saying Caleb invented it.
Yes.
But Caleb makes it cool. And like, I'm here for it. Now, here's the thing. The claw works if you win. You gotta win. Yeah. You can't be clawing and there's no winning happening.
Otherwise, you know you're gonna get like the Baker Mayfield treatment where was it? Joey Bosa did the plant the flag.
Plant the flag.
Right after after he got a sack on him.
I feel like he didn't do enough plant the flag in the NFL. No, he should have kept that going.
Yeah.
That would have been a good one to keep going. Man, we got a lot to get into on today's show as we're sitting here. We just started right off. I like it. Throwing the claw up there. Gotta talk about rookie minicamp day one. We got some big news, maybe news that people weren't expecting. Get into that. So stay tuned in with us on that. And then we got the mailbag question from you guys. We want to hear from you. We want to talk to you. If you have questions for next week's mailbag, leave them in the comments below. We'll try and get to as many of them as we can. And of course, we'll answer them the following week. And always, you can send us questions on Twitter, on Instagram. We got Facebook too. I just found out we got a Facebook page that's actually cracked. Are people still on Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
Anybody know how to post videos to Facebook?
I have not. Like, I've started to get back on Facebook because I found out ESPN was on Facebook. And because, like, TikTok's supposed to be dying. So I'm like, all right, I got an extra, you know.
That might be Zuckerberg's
whatever the
40
big minutes.
Like, that might be his big pivot is just recreate TikTok through Facebook.
I mean, that's what Instagram Reels is, ain't it?
That's like TikTok 2 weeks in the past.
It does feel that way. They got to wait for TikTok to get banned so that they can put it on. I get where you're coming from. Hey, a lot to get to on today's episode. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. This episode also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80-94. How you doing, Tyler? Good to have you here, man.
Good to be here. I mean, it's... The weather's warm.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Bears football kind of on the field.
Kind
right
of.
Now.
We got guys in jerseys and t-shirts and shorts.
Would you ever think there would be an anticipated event like this? Well, like, I'm trying to think of the fake hype events. And this is like an all-time fake hype event in this city.
That's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. Like fake, like we are hyped for it.
Oh yeah,
we're excited to see Bears players on the field and see them throwing and stuff. But like realistically speaking, you got to think anybody who's not in the draft probably doesn't make it, minus like a couple of names.
Yeah,
and you're not really gonna be able to figure out if they're really good by them standing out there and doing walkthroughs and then Caleb, you know, showing that he can throw the football 60 yards. We know that already.
Yep.
So. Fake hype events. NBA media day, maybe? Is that kind of fake,
like,
hype?
Any media day in general,
any
I
media
feel like.
Day,
NBA
yeah.
media. I think NBA does like the biggest.
It's yeah, there's, like, that's a big thing. Like you find out all this stuff. By the way, Frank Vogel fired just to hire Mike Budenholzer. Gross. Gross. That has nothing to do with Bears, but like I walked
had to get
in
that off your chest.
That's so gross. You know what I mean, like, my God, I don't know. But no, I think it's very, first off, we got to get to this breaking news that we got from Matt Eberflus today. I don't know if you saw this when he was in the press conference. Ladies and gentlemen, Caleb Williams has been named your starter.
Brett Rippin punching air.
Dang it. Tyson Bajan fans everywhere screaming. We knew this was going to happen. They screwed him again. No, this is the obvious. If anything, right, it's funny to say because, like, I don't know if your phone was like mine, but I got, like, the NFL alert. You know what I mean?
I got the Schefter,
the Chicago Bears have named Caleb Williams a starter. But realistically speaking, a lot of teams do the horse and pony show. They do the, you know, we want to see how everyone plays. We want to make sure he's up to speed. We want to make sure he performs. They did this with Bryce Young last year. Who was the backup?
Was it Andy Dalton?
No, it might have been Dalton. You might be right.
Yeah, it was Dalton. Yeah, it was Dalton.
I think it was Dalton. So yeah, they do that. And then, like, you know, we got to like the second week of freaking training camp, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna go with Bryce Young. No, duh. Yep. You weren't putting Dalton behind that line. So, like, I'm glad that we got this out of the way early. We got to hear from Matt Eberflus, got to hear from Caleb Williams. Was there anything in the press conference that you felt was like, maybe you didn't know, was kind of big to you, that you got revealed from Caleb Williams, Aroma Dunze, or Flus talking?
I don't think there was any sort of reveal. Like, these press conferences these days to me are so coached up at this point. So yeah. I never really have.
When he starts with grandiose, learning the names.
Yeah, when these grandiose takeaways from it. But I think one of the things that he definitely made apparent was when he was talking about some of the receivers, he lists off John Jackson right out of the gate.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of Bears fans don't know who John Jackson is, but that's Caleb's dude. That's his guy. Like, that's his best friend from college who the Bears have brought in as well. So, you know, like, they say that quarterbacks can make receivers. I wonder if he'll make a receiver out of John Jackson maybe at the next level.
There's going to be, yeah.
That was the one thing. And then the quote that's floating around everywhere of him saying that, I'm kind of approaching everything right now with my ears open and my mouth shut. That's going to make its waves around as well.
So. Yeah, I think the two big things that maybe stuck out to me from the press, first off, Flus saying that they drafted Kieran Amagaji, basically knowing that, or Karan, I should say, Amagaji, basically knowing he's not participating in the offseason.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a shock, but I guess, you know, you knew he had the injury. You knew what he was dealing with. You knew there was going to be some rehab. But he's been dealing with this injury for a while now. Mm-hmm. So now I'm kind of like, as always with it, did we just draft a third round injured player? Yeah, I mean, haven't we done this at the offensive line position, at the left tackle position before? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now this is a little bit different injury than, of course, what Tevin Jenkins went through and stuff like that. But
or Chris Williams,
Or Chris Williams, but I just it's. Because the torn, was it torn quad, right? The torn quad is one thing and going through the rehab from that. But, I mean, that was early in the year this year. And we're still dealing with some injury issues from Karan. So that has me a little bit, has my ears perked up a little bit. But outside of that, I thought that, you know, like hearing Caleb Williams say that he asked basically, you know, what kind of stuff are we going to be running? What's going to be going on here? How am I going to be doing this? So that he could come into rookie minicamp already prepared. I think that really speaks to the kind of player that the Bears are getting in here. He's ready to work. He's ready to go out of here and build this rapport up, throwing with DJ Moore before the draft, throwing with Roma Dunze before the draft, guys that he's like, all right, I might be playing with these dudes. I need to kind of figure out some things going in. He's all about the preparation. I love that about Caleb.
Right, and he has ingratiated himself with his teammates, with the city, all of that. Like, he was at the Sky game. He was at the Cubs game. He's made his rounds around the city. He's really endearing himself to the city. And I think that's an important thing because you're the face of the city now. Like, you look at everything that's going on sports wise in this city, there's nothing hotter right now than the Chicago Bears.
No,
despite coming off a 7-10 season, but you do have a guy who may be one of the next faces, not just of the city, but of the entire sport in and of itself, of the league. Like, this is a guy who it feels like everything he's done is in his entire life has been building to get to this moment. And now it's what he does with that opportunity.
No, and I think that's what's so interesting is he's not shying away from any of it. He's not hiding from the pressure. He's not running from the pressure. He's not saying, you know, like, he's not playing the quarterback cliche game, right? What do we get every time we get a rookie quarterback in here? You know, of course, the quote of, you know, I'm keeping my head down. I'm just trying to work. I'm listening, keep my ears open, stuff like that. But we've seen Caleb talk. We've heard how Caleb goes about his, but he's very much, hey, listen, I'm me. I know the talent that I'm bringing. I know the player that I am. He is the, I can't think of a quarterback. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I can't remember a quarterback coming in, number one overall pick or not, that has shown this much personality. Like, he's showing, like, I'm a 22-year-old kid. Like, I'm having fun. I'm living a dream. I'm glad to be here. I'm like, most times you get the, you know, I just really wanted it. The Colin Cowherd quarterback, right? Hats on forward. Yeah, I mean, you're, well, oh my God, you know, I'm
I guess
just
the
glad
one
to be
would
here.
Be
I'm
Baker, right? Like Baker came in with a little bit of
Baker charisma, did come in a lot of personality, a lot of charisma.
But that's how he was in college.
Yes,
too, so it was just
this is true.
It wasn't unexpected, maybe. Like Caleb, West Coast guy. Like even though it was USC, a big
didn't always
program,
talk after.
Right, like there wasn't as much on him, and now you do see there is that personality. You do see him out with interviews and stuff like that. He is different. He knows he's different,
yeah,
and he acts that way too. And there's nothing wrong with that. He is just being unapologetically him right now. And that's something that we really haven't seen. We've seen a lot of robots come through this town.
Like, The guys that give the – listen, it was so funny, right? We were talking beforehand about on the Windy City Breeze, we're doing the tournament of bad quarterbacks.
You were telling me about
this. And legitimately – so, yeah, it's down to Ty Collins and Mike Glennon. It's go check it out. Like, it's the funniest thing in the world. Go vote on it. It's on the community tab. But I think what's funny about it is, right, I remember Glennon coming in here and doing the robot thing, but then kind of trying to get chesty. And I went back and like watched the press conference. I was like, what a freaking idiot. Like this guy, like he's trying to show person. And like you almost attacked him for being like confident versus Caleb, where you're like, dog, I love the confidence on this kid. I love that he believes in himself. I love that he thinks listen, hindsight's 2020. Glennon played here, what, four games? Four touchdowns, four picks, basically.
Right.
Five touchdowns, four picks. Like hindsight's 20/20 in that situation. But the fact that you see Caleb come in and just like, listen, guys, this is who I am. This is how I'm going to be. I paint my nails. I'm doing the bear claw. I'm having a good time. But we're also going to get to work. I'm going to make sure we're prepared. I'm going to make sure we're on the field and ready to go. And he talks at the press conference. He's like, and I think there's things I can teach people.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that about this kid. And I think when you talk about the expectations, I mean, I don't know if you saw the CBS quarterbacks list.
It did, yes.
They basically got Caleb 23 on that list, I believe, which basically means this is the lowest we can put a rookie quarterback without feeling like it's too high.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that list had so much expectation.
Right. Like, for a rookie quarterback to be 23 without having taken a snap, like, I know a lot of people will be taken aback by it.
I was. I'm like, he's above Derek Carr. He's above Bryce Young.
Well, I think people were taken aback by it in the other way, that, oh, he should be higher. Like, he should be higher on the list. But, like, a guy hasn't taken a snap yet. I get it. I get the game and the fine line that you have to walk at this point. But listen, if he's 23 at the end of the year, I think Bears fans would be a little underwhelmed by that.
Yeah. Oh, I said, listen, I looked at the list and I said, based on the hype and all of that and how he's feeding into it, I think we'd look for him to be probably 12 or 13.
I was going to say like top
at
half.
At a minimum. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think we talk about, and I don't have the list in front of me. I think 15 was Russ.
Okay.
15 or 16 was like Russ. Yeah. And I was like, you want him to be above that.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
Kind of the line that you're like, no, we need you better than that. Mm-hmm. Not to say Russ was bad, but like, there is that hype. There is that buildup. And I think that to me, seeing where he was placed at on that list was kind of like, because, you know, Jaden Daniels was further down, JJ McCarthy was below him, a lot of the other rookies, stuff like that. That is an expectation of like, we're going to put you here for now. But we do expect you to be above a lot of these guys because, like, the only reason we put you here is because they've snapped footballs and won games in the NFL.
Yeah, like, if he goes out there first game, throws for 280 yards and two touchdowns,
he's up.
He's automatically going from 23 to, like, 16 or 17.
I want to say Geno was 18th. I was like, he's above Geno if he has a good game the first game.
Yeah.
There's no question marks on that. So, I don't know, man. Like, I love that he's not shying away from the expectation. I think that, not to say a lot of quarterbacks do that, but they almost like, we know the expectation's there, but we're not focused on that. And to me, how Caleb goes about it, how he talks in the press conferences, how he's prepared for rookie minicamp, he's saying, oh, I know what the expectations are, and I'm going to be ready for them when they get here.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is like, he doesn't feel stressed out. You can tell there's not a stress to him. Now, I will say, I felt the same way about Justin. Like, it didn't feel like he was stressed out early on in his career. That changed, I think, a little bit later on. But like
right after that Cleveland game.
Right. Like, but like with Mitch, everything always felt like he was under pressure.
He was stressed.
And it wasn't the football playing stuff. It always felt like he was under pressure in some of those moments. This is a guy who's calm, cool, collected. Like, he's just the most casual dude.
Yeah.
And for him this early on, and it's the way that he's been raised and brought up and all that, to everything's built for this moment. And now he's got a chance to do something.
What are your thoughts on the fact that we have the opportunity here to build two rookies up at the same time? The fact that you did, not only did we get Caleb Williams at the podium today, but Rome Odunze at the podium today. I thought Rome was very, very interesting. He talked about how Caleb threw the ball. He said he makes passes for other quarterbacks that would be difficult look easy. And that just gives you the confidence that he can get the ball to you. The fact that you have the opportunity to grow your starting quarterback with your starting wide receiver, who I would think, when we heard TJ Houshmandzadeh say there's no guy in the NFL like this, mm-hmm. I started going through every team and go, he's got the hands, but he's not 6'4". All right, he's got the size, but he doesn't have the weight. Mm-hmm. You have two possible anomalies on your team that you can grow together.
Right. That's why I was excited with going offense. Part of the reason why I wasn't opposed if the Bears had gone this direction of taking Caleb and then maybe Brock Bowers as well. Yeah. I would have liked to see the Bears, because it's an offensive league. It's the way it's going to be for the length of Caleb Williams' career now. Yes. It's an offensive league. And the way that these receivers and tight ends are such difference makers in the league now, wouldn't it be great to see two guys develop in lockstep for the next 5 years?
100%.
It's part of why I was very pro, you got to go out and get a receiver. That's why receiver/pass catcher was above edge rusher for me in my what I want to see the Bears do in this draft. And they went out and hit it out of the park, it feels like, with Rome Odunze, because it's just everything about Rome. There's already a professionalism to him that you don't see with a lot of rookies. I feel the same way about Caleb. Like, it almost feels like, from a off-field standpoint, they're the same person, which is like they're just way mature beyond their years, stuff. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to see. And you hope that that chemistry translates on the field as well. And they have a familiarity with each other from playing in the Pac-12 for a couple of years. So they know what the other one's about. And the fact that, I mean, you're seeing not just Rome Odunze, but DJ Moore already speak glowingly about this guy too. And Caleb, like, I think, you know, a lot of people talk about how the Bears were the best situation to drop a rookie quarterback in.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly agree with that. But I also think it was the best situation to drop a rookie receiver in as well.
Yes.
Think about the room that this guy's going into with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. You know, there's a lot of these diva receivers across the NFL, not in the Chicago Bears receiver room. You've got two professionals who not just know how to approach the game, they know the game better than almost every receiver. Like, a lot of guys can get away with the fact that, oh, I'm faster, I'm bigger, I'm stronger. Those two guys are absolute technicians at the craft. And for Rome Odunze, even if it's just a one-year experience with Keenan Allen, to have 1 year with Keenan Allen, I think, is the best possible way to drop a rookie receiver into the NFL.
Oh, 100%. And I love the fact. Here's the thing for me. We talk about this pressure. We talk about the pressure that's around everybody. But realistically speaking, where's the pressure on the field? Of course, there's pressure to perform, mm-hmm. right? But Rome Odunze doesn't have to be the best wide receiver on the Bears this year.
No. Doesn't even have to be second.
Doesn't even have to be second. Like, if he's the third best receiver on the Chicago Bears, we're sitting there going, of course he was the third best receiver on the Chicago Bears. You know, because DJ Moore's one, Keenan Allen's two, or Keenan Allen's one, DJ Moore's two. No, he's the best receiver, or he's the third best receiver on the Chicago Bears. I think even with Caleb, right, like, the success that we're expecting to see from Caleb, yeah, there's going to be pressure around him. People are going to scrutinize him. He's going to be probably the most scrutinized player in the NFL, I'd say, this season if he has some downturns. But what's going to be the toughest part of throwing to DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to, of course, utilize all the weapons, but at least in your receiving core, if you just go Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, go with your veteran guys. You got three guys that know how to catch the ball when it comes their way.
Yep.
And know how to get open.
Yep.
And on contested catches, they are three of the best guys in the league, which mm-hmm. Cole Kmet being in that list is a little bit shocking, but he is there, I swear. I mean, so, like, I feel like this is a, not to say there's no pressure on Caleb, but, like, it's not Bryce Young pressure.
No.
Bryce Young, by the way, who he's above in the quarterback rankings. Bryce Young getting screwed out here, which to me just adds to the fleece.
Yeah.
It adds to the fleece. Seeing the rookie quarterback this year above Bryce Young last year adds to the fleece to me.
No doubt. Like, and Bryce Young very well could have a great NFL career or a solid NFL career.
I hope he does just because of how they – no offensive line.
Yeah, like that's a tough situation to be dropped into, but that's not the case with Caleb, like you mentioned. Like, he's being dropped into the most ideal spot for a number one overall quarterback that we've ever seen. And getting back to, like, Roma Dunze, too, like, the pressure not to be one or two. Think about Shane Waldron, where he previously was with Seattle, right? Yep. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, two established veterans in the league, talented guys. And then they go out and draft Jaxon Smith-Njigba, too, mm-hmm. to be that third option. JSN didn't do a whole heck of a lot early on, but he kept growing through his role. And by the end of the year, you could see why he was a highly touted receiver. And I think we may see something similar this year, because we know that there's going to be a lot of situations where the Bears are going to want to run the football as well. So there's that even cuts further into the target distribution among your pass catchers. But for Roma Dunze, it may not click in those first 7 or so weeks.
Right.
But I would hope that by the time we're at week 12, we can see a guy who's developing into being a quality receiver for the future.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that you've got three guys that, like you said, like the first two, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, they're not going to be the divas. They're not going to be the guy like, I have to get mine, or we're, you know, like they want to win. Keenan Allen especially.
Yeah.
He wants to win. He's coming to Chicago with a chip on his shoulder. I am excited about the season we're going to get out of Keenan Allen because he's talking like, I can't believe the Chargers freaking got rid of me. Like, you're going to cut my pay after everything I've been through with this team? So you're getting him with a chip. Like, I don't think that if Caleb was to say, I want to get this to Rome, I want to distribute it to Rome, they're covering you guys, Rome's wide open, and you get him the ball early on, that they would have a problem with it. I think you got three guys on this team that just want to win. You've almost got like this perfect storm of great players mixed with great mindset happening all at once. Those are the teams that go far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the Bears are like on a Super Bowl run or anything, but like, those are the teams that you look at and like, well, everything just lined up perfectly and everybody thought the same way.
Yeah, the one worry would be is that you look across the offense and you don't have guys that have resumes of going far in the playoffs, right? Like, aside from DeAndre Swift, like, there isn't a championship or even like a strong playoff pedigree on this roster. It's up to them to now create that pedigree for themselves. But like, DJ Moore hasn't had that. Keenan Allen's like been in the playoffs, but it's not like he's been a part of teams that have made deep runs. It's really what, DeAndre Swift, and that's it.
That's
like,
about
I'm trying to think through. Coleman Shelton.
Keenan never went far because he was with Philip for
a couple years.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever made. Philip probably was hurt. He probably got broken down. Philip, actually, shocking. Relax, their EO in the back. Trying to think. Yeah, I guess you're right. Keenan Allen probably has not had a deep playoff run.
Off the top of my head.
That's crazy.
Gerald Everett's.
Oh, Gerald Everett's got a Super Bowl, Hey, we got one. Gerald Everett. We got our Super Bowl guy. Pedigree, baby. Pedigree. I think Gerald Everett's actually going to be a bigger part of this team than most people think, but I don't know if he's the one that's bringing the championship mindset there for Caleb. Mm-hmm. So I'll say this, to kind of cap it off, especially it's rookie minicamp, right? We're not making grand predictions on the season based on rookie minicamp, but the one thing that I do love is everybody that we heard today sounded like they came in prepared, and that's not what I can say about this team at so many points last season.
Yeah.
Last season, it felt like the Bears were unprepared. It felt like, okay, we're like watching through the offseason, watching through training camp and stuff. We're like, all right, like, okay, like, they're doing things. Like, they are having training camp here, but I don't know how they – like, are they going to be ready? This feels a little light. I remember hearing Mercedes Lewis just on the sideline. Me and J-Mac were standing there. Mercedes Lewis is walking by, and he's like, this is training camp every year. I could play another 10 years. And he's like – him and J-Mac laughed about it because they're like – you know, they both have been a part of training camps that were like, we're doing two-a-days. We're beating the heck out of each other so that we can get ourselves ready for the season. I ain't saying you got to kill each other in training camp, but, like, it just felt like the Bears weren't doing a great job preparing. I love the fact that at rookie minicamp, the rookies are talking about how prepared they were for rookie minicamp with verbiage, with routes, with all of that stuff already going. So love to hear that, man. Let us know how you guys feel about it in the comments below. Appreciate you guys tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Now we got to get to the mailbag portion of the show where we hear from you through the man in the corner. I'm not pointing at it, Tyler. This is not weird. I'm pointing at Eric. He's in the corner down here. I don't know if you can see him on the screen or not, but that was weird. It was weird. I'm sorry.
I'm down here, I swear.
I see you.
There he is.
Cool. So I'm going to stick with the rookie theme.
Okay.
And we were talking about the quarterback ranking, Caleb Williams. So let's just do the NFC and let's go by divisions. Which quarterbacks would you take over Caleb Williams so far? So let's start in the NFC North,
or just the NFC in general?
The whole NFC, but let's go by division. Let's do the North first.
North, I'm taking Love and Goff.
Yeah, that's I can't disagree.
All right, like,
so we're saying we adding them to this team?
Yeah, sure. Plug and play.
Replacing them. I can't. My heart won't let me take Jordan Love. I'm not taking Jordan Love.
You're not taking Jordan Love.
I would take Caleb Williams. I would probably take Jared Goff over Caleb right now, and that doesn't feel good.
All right. So that looks
It's funny because the way that I would order them is I would go Love, Goff.
I think Love's a better quarterback than Goff is.
Yeah. I do.
I tend to agree. And I think two years down the line, I don't think that's going to be an argument.
Either. Yeah.
Well, I think 2 years down the line, too. Yeah. Like, how old is Jared Goff? 28, 27.
He was drafted in, what was he, 13?
He's a little bit older. He's still young, but I would think 2 years down the line, yeah, Goff's probably, you know, heading toward the better pastures. I might be wrong. He might have like 10 years left, but 29. So 2 years down the road, 31-year-old Jared Goff.
Drafted what, 16 then?
Yeah. We'll see. Like, I just expect Jordan Love to make that much progress. If he had the same amount of time on the field that Goff had, that he'd be better.
Like, I think about it too. Like,
I can't. Here's the tough part. I can't say you're wrong. It's just the Bears fan in me can't pick him.
I love it. All right, let's go to the NFC East now. So the Giants.
No.
Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. I think maybe he's there
for right now. Yes.
I would take Dak Prescott over Caleb right now, yes.
Jalen Hurts?
Yes, for right now. Because we're saying like right now, not like 5 years projected.
Yeah, I'm speaking right now in this moment.
Yes, I'd take Jalen Hurts.
Yep, agreed. And then Washington?
Caleb. Daniels. Yeah. Give me Caleb.
All right, let's go west. So San Francisco, Brock Purdy.
Right now, Brock.
Yeah, give me Brock.
According to some lists, he's
the second best quarterback in the NFL. My God, I couldn't believe it.
Matt Stafford, Rams.
Yes.
No. I feel like Matt Stafford's on his.
Stafford was good at the end of the year.
Stafford was good at the end of the year, but I think Stafford's kind of on his like.
He went toe to toe with the Lions.
I'm a pop in and pop out part of his career. Give me the young guy in that situation.
Interesting. All right, so Geno up in Seattle.
No.
I'd rather have Caleb.
Yeah, give me Caleb.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather roll the dice.
Yeah. Who am I missing? We got
Kyler.
Arizona, Kyler Murray. So on that.
Caleb already feels like a better leader than Kyler Murray. But
on
like,
that quarterback list, they were. Kyler was the one right above Caleb.
He's 22.
Yes.
I'd probably take Kyler. Kyler can play. I just feel like Kyler's like miniature Black Cutler. Like I think he's
recklessness to his game. Yeah,
I think he's a very talented quarterback. I think that people just don't like they don't view him as a leader on that team. And I think your quarterback has to be a leader on the team.
Yeah, like there was the one year he had was it 2020
10-6 or something like
where
that.
They were good.
Yeah,
he was like an MVP candidate for the first 8-10 weeks of the season before he gets injured or slows down a little. If I had to, like, if we're just running for this season, I'd probably take Caleb over
take
Kyler.
Take Caleb over Kyler. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's more than we like. It's for a rookie, it's more than you think. So let's go to the South now. Baker in Tampa.
No, give me Caleb.
Really? Yeah.
Baker had a really good season last year, too. But no, give me Caleb.
I think I'd rather take Caleb, yeah.
I think I'm still with Baker on that one. The Saints, I don't even know.
Derek Carr. Yeah, I'll take Caleb.
Give me Caleb.
Carolina.
Take Caleb.
Give me Caleb. Yep. Yeah.
Uh huh. And then lastly, who am I missing?
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. Oh, this is going to be tough. That's my guy's going to kill me because he loves Kirk Cousins. And I'm always like, he's not as good as you think he is, but he's really good. Give me Kirk.
Yeah, I'd take Kirk.
Can I get Michael Penix as like a back end in case he gets hurt as well? Can I take both of them?
I would take Caleb over Penix. So, like,
Tyson Bagent or Michael Penix Jr.?
Michael Penix Jr.
Yes.
I think without injury, he's the second best quarterback in this draft. He was injured a lot, though.
Mm-hmm. All right. I got another rookie question going on with the rookie minicamp. So, odds on defensive rookie of the year being a fifth round pick. Austin Booker has the fifth best odds. Do you think that's realistic? And I know that you're a fan of him, Pat. Yeah. Like, what do you think that spark and he can actually bring to the table?
I think that's realistic because what would win you defensive rookie of the year realistically?
You got to be either a corner or an edge rusher.
And what number? Yeah, I mean, what like numbers?
How many sacks?
Exactly.
You're talking?
I think that he's going to be a pure pass rusher. And so nobody's going to be sitting there year one going, well, what about his run block numbers? He wasn't really able to set the edge on the run. I think for defensive rookie of the year, you kind of just need to have good numbers. And I think he's a guy that could surprise, especially opposite Montez Sweat in pass rushing downs where Torrey Taylor's going to be pinning people at the one and they're going to die there. I think he could be a guy that could come away this season with 5 or 6 sacks. And I think 6-1, who's old boy in Houston that won it last year?
Will Anderson.
Will Anderson. Yep. Yeah. 6 sacks, I think, won him defensive rookie of the year last year. 6 or 7, something like that. Hmm.
I would have thought it was a little higher than that. I don't think that he's going to get into that 5-6 just because I think that they're going to try to find another edge rusher off the street between now and week one.
I agree with that.
So that I think is going to take away a little from the opportunity. So 7 sacks last year.
45 combined tackles.
So 7 sacks last year. I just think there's so many edge rushers that were in this draft too.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. Like edge rushers,
a lot of good corners too.
Are the ones that are going to win this award. And I don't think Austin Booker is going to be a starter from day one. Whereas you look at guys like Laiatu Latu, Dallas Turner, Jared First, a lot of those guys are going to be starters on day one. They're going to have more opportunity. So maybe they don't have as good of a sack percentage as Austin Booker might have.
Yeah.
But I still think that the raw numbers is what you're looking at as a voter for this award. So, doesn't mean he can't have a good rookie season, but I just think there's going to be some speed bumps along the way.
That's the question, right? Are the fifth best odds?
Right. It just
I think he'll be in the conversation. I don't know if he wins it.
I don't think he'll be in the conversation.
You don't think he'll be in the conversation at all? No. So you don't think the fifth best odds is fair for him?
I don't know. I don't think
you got
five
players above him.
I just think there's so many.
Is this like tied as well? How are the odds? Is this like he's tied like 7?
I think he was tied with a few people.
At fifth best odds? Okay.
But yeah, I don't think that he's going to be in the conversation just because I don't think the opportunity is going to be there. And a lot of winning a rookie of the year is opportunity.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I think he'll have more opportunity, but I think it'll be very situational early on.
For sure. Yeah.
So. Yep. All right, cool. Good one. So Keenan Allen, more likely or less likely to be one and done on the Bears?
I think more likely. The way that this team has to budget itself out over these next couple of years now, I think it's more likely than not that this is a one and done project, even though it was a significant draft pick to give up this year, a fourth rounder. But I think we kind of saw Ryan Poles didn't have a lot of value in stock in some of these later picks. That's why he was okay trading him away for guys like Keenan Allen, Ryan Bates, stuff. And even in some other deals that he's made along the way. I just think you got to budget yourself out for a lot of these young D-backs if you want to keep them around.
100%.
DJ Moore, I think you have to put higher on the pecking order for a contract extension over Keenan Allen. You've already done deals with Cole Kmet and Montez Sweat. You gave out some big money to Tremaine Edmonds last year. You're going to have to figure out what you want to do with Tevin Jenkins, and you're going to have to make a decision on Braxton Jones too.
Yeah.
So I think, given where the Bears are financially, it's not that they're in a bad place financially, but they're in a flexible place financially. I don't think Keenan Allen is going to be, barring some mega season where you can't say no to bringing him back this year, I don't think that he's going to be around for much more than a year.
I would agree. Now, I think it's maybe like a 55-45 situation where a great season could absolutely change that. Mm-hmm. But you also have to take into account, right, the Bears are getting Keenan Allen on the last year of his deal, which means that there's an opportunity for a comp pick in there.
True.
The money he makes, I believe that comp pick is a third or fourth rounder, so you're getting back the pick.
Right.
Basically, that you gave up, or maybe even getting a better pick, mm-hmm. of course, depending on how he plays this season as well. I think that it's – you don't draft Rome to be the third best option for 5 years at nine. That's right. Really what it comes down to.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like even 3 years, right? If you're going to re-sign him, you're probably re-signing him to this year and then maybe a two-year extension. I don't think you're going 3 years down the road and you're saying Rome Odunze is your third best wide receiver.
Right.
So I'd probably say it's more likely that this is a one and done year, but I mean, who knows if he put up 1300 yards in 15 games last year and basically was like, I could have played the last two. Mm-hmm. So he could have had a 1600 yard season. You know what I mean? Like if you're doing that, he's probably back.
Yeah, I think it is going to be contingent on his performance, but I think he has to reach a pretty significant level. And I don't know if health-wise he will be able to level. So
we'll see.
All right, cool. So wide receivers have been talked about a bunch. I feel like, and the comment, the person that reached out with the question, feel like DeAndre Swift's kind of been forgotten, that he's been added to this weapon. What is your expectation? Give me a prediction on like yards, touchdown. What do you expect from him in this offense with all these weapons around him now?
What did he do last year touchdowns wise?
It was probably minimal because they like the tush push down there. So
they did like a lot of tush push.
I would guess he had like five or six
touchdowns. That feels about right. I think he'll be yards from scrimmage in total. I think he'll be like a 1,300 yards from scrimmage guy. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think he'll be like a 2,000 guy. He's not going to be Saquon Barkley. I think he'll have maybe, you know, 400 or 500 pass catching yards and probably another 800 or 900 rushing
yards. Yeah, like, I feel like, was he a 1,000 yard rusher last year?
He was a 1,000 yard rusher.
He rushed for 1,050 yards and he caught for 214 and 5 touchdowns.
Oh, I got him way high. Well, they're not throwing a lot to him, though.
I think you're going to see yards down, touchdowns up with him.
I can see that.
I think the yards will be down just because there's more opportunity in the backfield with guy and the rotations with guys like Roshan and Khalil Herbert. And then the touchdowns will go up because I think more established player in the league, they'll trust him a little bit more. So I think, you'll see, let's say, rushing and receiving combined to be around 1,200 and eight touchdowns.
I could get behind that. I'd say 1,400. Yeah. I think at that point you're splitting hairs between the game. You know what I mean? I think it depends on also if he has one massive game where we're just feeding him the entire time.
Yeah, too, for sure.
You know what I mean, like, so yeah, I can follow that. I think about in that range.
All right. So the next one I have, this person, and this may not be something that you guys know yet, or like it's a question if you guys are aware. Like, so do you see, I know that next year is supposed to be a really down quarterback draft, offensive, so it's supposed to be more defensive draft. This guy was wondering, is there a three technique that you see the Bears targeting in the draft next year?
I haven't even started. I'm a defer to my college football podcast guy here. I have not.
I haven't done the deep dive yet. Maybe not three technique, but there's really good options in the Big Ten. I know with Ohio State and Michigan, like Ohio State had a lot of guys along that defensive line go back, and they were draft eligible this year, and some of the guys were even projected to be first round, early second round picks. So I would watch a lot of Big Ten football, Ohio State and Michigan, because there's some guys along that defensive line. Now it's going to come down to if everything breaks right for the Bears.
Right.
You're going to be drafting in the 20s. If things go their way, will those guys be available?
Right.
So,
well, I mean, you'll be drafting in the 20s, but if they were second round projected last year, unless they skyrocket their stock, you do have the Carolina pick.
You do, yeah.
Now, so, whether it stays on the team by the end of the year, I don't believe that. I think that pick has no shot of being here.
Really?
Ryan Poles loves trading second rounders, though.
Yeah, he does. He does, and he likes to trade the higher second rounders a lot of times, too.
Mid-season, there's somebody available. File. Here's a second rounder for you. We're going to get that.
All right, this question I feel like came from something that Shay Norling brought up on Cap and Hood the other day.
Shout out to Shay.
What up? It's the Jonathan Allen. So Washington is reportedly out there shopping Jonathan Allen, and they're saying the price tag is a first round pick. Do you think the Bears should even bother making a phone call with
that? Nope.
I think when you're at the stage where the Bears sort of are now, where you have made trades to acquire talents at this point.
Yeah.
I'm not trading high picks because now you're gonna you're gonna lose some of these pieces, whether it's guys in the defensive backfield like Kyler Gordon or Jaquan Brisker, or you're going to lose a Tevin Jenkins, or you may lose a Braxton Jones. You got to start replenishing some of these, and you want to try to do it with first and second round picks, even if they are in the later portions of the first and second rounds. I would those are the opportunities where you can find quality edge rushers in the 20s or in the late teens. You can find good offensive linemen in the late teens, early 20s. So I'm not in the market right now to be trading a first-round pick for the future for a defensive player.
And at a certain point, you got to start developing your guys. Listen, Javon Dexter was a second-round pick. Zach Pickens was third-round pick last year. Yeah, I mean, like you got to – like you're selecting these guys. You got to have some kind of development on something on the interior. You know what I mean? I'm okay with Jonathan Allen right now. If I'm trading, because you also have to think too, that second round pick, we have not heard about penalties on Atlanta. That second round pick may become a first round pick.
I did hear
if they end up taking that pick away and moving up.
There was expectations that there weren't going to be any penalties.
No penalties.
That was the last I heard.
So there was no tampering, even though Kirk had a crib.
There was tampering. But apparently...
Apparently lives up the street from Dwight Howard, too. Do with that information what you will, comments.
I feel like those are two bad hangs right there.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Like, if I walk into a party and Kirk Cousins and Dwight Howard are there...
He's manning one corner, Dwight's in the other
corner. You know what I mean? I'm just making sure Diddy's not upstairs. All right. Hey, what else we got?
We're going to go, speaking of entertainment world, one, did you guys even know Netflix had a live option?
Yes.
Like, did they know? I had no idea.
I didn't know they had a live option, but I know that that's been something that's been thought about with them for a while.
I think they did that with, who had a show on there? It was like Hasan Minhaj. I want to make sure I'm saying his name right, because he gets very angry about that. I think his show used to like, It would be like this show is live right now, and then it would go away.
And then it'd be gone.
And then they just post it like an hour later. It'd be like, you could have just dropped the episode.
So I bring that up because rumor is Christmas, NFL, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about that?
That's fine. Everybody has Netflix.
Yeah, that's
one I can deal with.
Yeah, because like Netflix, when you think of streaming, like, this, like, the Bears are the charter franchise. Like, Netflix is the charter streaming service,
Netflix not having one feels like they've been getting screwed for years.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, so I
does that make the House of Cards like Sid Luckman or something like that? Like,
what a call. What a recall on that. Good job, Eric. 1,000 points.
But I do think that, like, if anyone is going to get one, like, if we're going to be delegating them out right now, like, there's the whole talk about Sunday morning baseball going to Roku. Like, what the hell is that? I mean, but like, if you're going to put an NFL game on Netflix, I have a little bit more of an appetite for that because it's just so much more prevalent in the American household, I feel like.
I feel like Roku is almost as prevalent as Netflix, though.
Do you?
Okay. I think because Roku's the cheaper option. You know what I mean? Like, I can get a freaking Roku.
And it's built into a lot of TVs now,
built
too.
Built into TVs. I can get a Roku for $12, $13. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's great. And Roku, how it is now, like, it's literally just plug it in and it works.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that on the baseball front. But
if it would be like Paramount, like, let's say Paramount.
Those, when it starts to get to those, I think that's where it gets tough, where it's like, I got to go through. Have you guys done this where, like, you're logging in on the TV, but you got to go, like, QR code, log in on your phone?
Well, to be honest,
it doesn't pick up on the TV. You got to do it again.
I will say, I much prefer the QR code to the type it in yourself.
Type it
on
in
the TV,
on the oh my god,
because that's the worst.
Yes. But see, that's the, I think that's the problem. The older generation is like, they don't know what the heck the Q. They're like, what's the box doing on the screen? What do I do with this?
Yeah.
They don't know. You just open your camera app and you can just right. I mean, so my only question with Netflix getting it is, are they going to screw it up?
Yes.
Because
I'll give you the simple answer why, as a broadcaster, they have to hire a crew, a camera set. Like, unless yes. they, like, Amazon had to buy all this. And that's why Amazon has kind of struggled, especially with their Friday Night Baseball crew and how bad the broadcast has been. It's a tech problem. They have never done this as a live sporting event broadcast. They're going to have mess ups, and to have the only game be the one they're watching on Christmas, there's going to be problems.
That's going to piss me off, because who screwed up last year? Somebody screwed up with, like, the stream was lagging the entire – was it Amazon? Maybe it was Amazon. Or no, somebody new got it. Like, did Hulu get
Peacock
one?
Peacock got one.
Peacock got a game.
I think Peacock was messing it up. Or one of them, where it was like, you're trying to watch the game, you're just like, my God, like, the audio's gone.
That was an Amazon game.
Was that an Amazon game? And then it was like lagging.
Yes.
And then it just all of a sudden just cut out. And it was like, what the heck? Like, you don't screw with my football, dog. Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing. Like, you can't, at a minimum, I don't care if your mic goes out. I don't care, freaking, like, you know, the booth is on fire. Leave the video on.
Yeah.
I can get through a lot. If what was it? TNT the other day. I forget who was doing it, but like the mics went out.
Yeah, well, they had a big problem because a lot of their things are done through – it's streaming through Max also. Like,
yeah,
you can watch a lot of the NCAA tournament, NBA playoffs all through Max.
Yeah.
And I remember their guinea pig run was a USC basketball – I think it was USC-TCU basketball game back in, like, November. And there were tech problems galore
right.
as a part of that operation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's, like, they had the guinea pig run. And maybe, like
– yeah, starting on the Christmas Day game is bad.
But I wonder if maybe they pick up a college football game, like a right. meaningless September college yeah, football yeah, yeah, game yeah. early on. Or if they – maybe, like, even some of these live
to, right?
these live events, like they're doing with Tom Brady, like the roast and stuff like that, like – I think maybe that is the precursor to getting ready for a lot of this stuff.
How'd you miss the opportunity to get practice on this with the UFL?
Right.
Yeah.
Rock's literally bringing WWE to Netflix, which is going to be phenomenal. And you already have the relationship there. How'd you drop the ball on this of like,
that's a good call.
Let's get all our practices on games. No one's going to be watching.
Yeah.
Right. But we know the tech works. We can establish a little rapport. Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to be sitting here like, oh, dang it, I lost my – I don't know what team.
I don't know.
Birmingham Stallions.
The Birmingham – sure. I lost my Birmingham Stallions.
You could have completely made that up, by the way.
That is a real team. We should do that.
Real
UFL team or made up.
That's hilarious. So Netflix has 270 million subscribers. That's more than Disney, Hulu, Max, Peacock, and Paramount combined.
Yeah, you know what it was? It was Disney had the Toy Story game. That's the game we were trying to pull.
That was the one. That was all messed up. You're right.
Can I say something though? Can I say something though? It was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun.
When it was working.
Yeah.
When it was working, I don't know if y'all actually said. I sat and I probably watched like a solid 6.5
I watched the whole thing. So my college roommate did the play-by-play for that game. And so I watched the whole Toy Story version.
Yeah.
Because like that's like a thing with my college roommates. Like one of them did like the Nickelodeon slime games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like all these dudes are doing like cartoon sports.
Which I'm not mad at. I'm not. Are you? You know what it was though? Because that was a Jacksonville game, right?
Yeah, it was Jacksonville.
I think Trevor Lawrence had a big run in that game or something. And I'm sitting there watching it like on my phone as it's going. And it was like, it was the few times it was working. I was like, it's pretty freaking cool if they can like make this work. Like I would pay, like if I'm on the go.
They've been doing it a lot with hockey too.
And I don't want to pay full price for like the NFL package. Now I do, but if I don't, that's not a bad alternative. Like you got to figure out who Ham is. Yeah, I mean, like, what the hell is that? Is that Jackson Smith and Jigba down the sideline?
That's hilarious. All right, I'm going to go one more question, two-parter, and we're going to do this one on the assumption the Bears are going to be on Hard Knocks.
Okay, so we're
assuming they're on Hard Knocks. Who is going to be the one surprise person like personality wise that's going to shine, and who's going to be the one loser from this whole thing because of their personality?
DJ Moore will be the loser. Because DJ Moore,
too vanilla, he's, too,
and it's not that DJ Moore is a loser. It's not none of that. He's DJ Moore is going to be him, and he's going to smile at the camera, and then he's going to walk away. And they're going to try and find him again. He's going to smile at the camera, and then he's going to walk away. Like I love his personality. He's who he is. He's not faking for the cameras, which is what I hate about Hard Knocks mostly.
I'll go winners first. I've got a tie: Pat Scales and Cairo Santos.
Facts.
Because like social teams love the special teams guys. Sure. Like how many times are those guys, and Trenton Gill used to be like, how many times are like, we know Torrey Taylor is going to walk away a winner out of this, but the other two guys I think are going to walk away just as big of winners because they're personality driven type of dudes. In terms of losers, like, I don't have a loser. I'm trying to think through.
Are we saying loser like somebody that's gonna come off like you're gonna look at them negatively, yeah, or just like okay? So I take DJ Moore off.
Well, like DJ Moore is a good answer with your context.
Yeah. Right. I think DJ Moore is gonna give them nothing if they do it.
Wanting DJ Moore, and they're gonna.
He's gonna be like, nah, get out of my face.
So I think that's a good answer with your context.
Somebody who's gonna come off bad. That's tough. Because we have such good personalities. I'll say this. I think Kyler may perform a little. That would irritate most.
Well, I think
that would irritate
him
me.
And Jaquan.
I was going to basically the secondary because they're so braggadocious. Him, Jalen, Tyreek. Yeah. That maybe all the shit talking and all the the Spider-Man, maybe that's, I'd say the secondary.
It may be like, who's the receiver that was on, is that Jarvis Landry?
Yeah.
When Cleveland was doing Hard Knocks. And he's like, I don't care if they take your legs and your knees, you need to be on the practice. It was like, what the, dog, you're hurt right now. You weren't out there. What are you talking about? Wait, like, I think there may be some performance, but I don't think.
You know who I could see?
Losers is tough. Like saying like they're gonna.
How about Shane Waldron? Seems kind of boring.
He does.
Yeah, Shane might. Who's the assistant coach that we're gonna fall in love with? I think Hightower is gonna be the darling.
Hightower could be.
I think just Hightower walking around. I can just imagine him. Good question. And it just like walks off, just like.
Well, who's what's his, is it Thomas Brady?
Thomas Bryant.
Thomas. He's the quarterback's coach now. It came from the Rams. Thomas Brown. I think it's Thomas Brown.
Yep,
or from Carolina. Because he was voted as like one of the most beloved assistants in all of
football.
And you don't get that award.
I didn't even know that was an award.
Working for, it was like an anonymous poll. Among players. And for Thomas Brown, I think that might be the one because he's going to be like, all over the fingerprints of the quarterback room and stuff . These guys love them. And you don't become named one of the most beloved up-and-coming assistants in football while working for last year's Carolina Panthers.
This is true. I think winners-wise, I don't know if I gave a winner. Winners-wise, I'm not going to lie. I kind of agree with you. I got a chance to talk to Scales at the draft. And I walked back. I don't know if I think I told both of y'all, like, straight up, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he's a straight up, bro. First off, he's there in his jersey.
Dude.
Because he's like,
he's probably walking around.
I'm the long snapper.
Right.
They're probably not going to know who I am. Throwing the jersey on. I'm repping it. I get it free. Boom, here I am. I'm a Bears guy. Dog, he probably talked to me for 20 minutes. I think maybe 6 minutes of it was about football.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he was such a dude's dude. So cool. I actually want to get him on the pod. I'm going to try and reach out to him and get him on the pod because, like, just talking to him, and he's like, the funniest thing was he's sitting there talking about, like, you know, Caleb. He's like, I don't know him. I haven't met him. But, you know, I'm fine. And I'm hearing things through the meeting. He's like, I'm finding out through one of my inside sources, though. My inside sources. I'm like, dude, you're in the building. You are the inside.
He's talking about Heisman, his special teams sources.
Like, inside sources. It's you, dog. So, like, but no, he was such a cool. I absolutely agree with you. I think that they are going to be the probably funniest duo on the football field, especially adding in Tory Taylor into that too, because Tory Taylor's got to be, he's got to hold field goals, right? Did he hold the ball for the field goals in college?
I don't know if he held in college, but I know like last year was Trent Gill.
Right.
So
we might be getting a little Pat McAfee action, sending him to a field goal kicking class. We might be getting some good video on this. I think special teams might take the cake, man.
That's good. Yeah. I like it. It's fun. That's all I got, guys.
Hey, appreciate EO popping in, always coming through lower corner. This guy knows what he's doing here, man. Appreciate you coming through, Tyler.
Anytime, brother.
Nothing else on the show. Let us know how you guys feel. If you haven't dropped a question yet, drop your question here. We'll answer some questions next week. Of course, rookie minicamp. We'll have coverage if anything crazy happens throughout the weekend. I'm always willing to pop one and drop a video. And Tyler, what you got going on? Yeah, you got golf, man. Was everything golf?
Everything's
for you right
golf.
Now.
Weather's turning right now, so it's just gonna be a. Trying to get outside as much as possible.
I got to hit the driving range for gripping and zipping. I'm supposed to be playing this year, and I'm not going to lie. I can hit it well off the tee, but the middle is just like, I'll pick the ball up and just say, like, let's go. Like, if they put me with a group where they're like, you got to go with these guys.
So you need to be like an alternate shot specialist then, just like a driver.
Just a driver
someone
guy.
Someone else does your approaches.
I've said I would love to do like the I don't know if you've seen it on the Golf Network, like the prolong drive where they just hit the
long
it as far
drive,
as they can.
Those dudes are insane.
They're nuts. They're nuts. I got to meet them. I end up doing an event with one of them with and the year Martin Borgmeyer won, and he was a bro.
Yeah.
Like, he was literally a bro. And so it was those guys are hilarious. But like doing that, I'm like, I could do that. I have to worry about nothing else. Like, there's no middle. There's no putting. Here we go. So, but I got to get my golf game improved. But appreciate you guys pulling up, man. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Make sure y'all tune in and follow Tyler on all platforms and follow your boy as well. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. We got football. Peace. Oh, we're clawing it. We're clawing it at the end.